We have a few minutes to look at the Word of God this morning, not that passage. We'll come to that passage in a moment. But let me say that I think if we're truly thankful to God, and as we stop for a few moments today and remember the 60 years of ministry, then God calls us to live with one passion. And I learned very early on in life, when I was 18 in fact, that life can be very short. It can end suddenly and unexpectedly, and you have to make sure that you don't waste your life because you only have one of them. And one of my mates was out with some friends at a farm. They often went shooting at the farm, and sadly one of the other young men who was in my year at school, and we don't know what happened, he lost it in some form. He had a gun and he threatened to kill this young man, and he was hiding behind a ute, and then at a certain point he lifted up his face behind the ute and the guy simply shot him dead. 30 or 40 young guys, 18 years of age, inner city boys, tough boys most of them, were faced with the reality that life can be very short and can end very suddenly. I went to his funeral. The funeral was tragic, as you would expect. The parents, I think, are still recovering, following his death. The priest spoke about the hope of eternal life, that we die and there's life beyond, but I knew this fellow and I knew their friends, and none of them, as far as I understood, knew had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it was a hopeless event. And no one took any hope from the gospel that was preached. We simply went, we were saddened, we walked away, broken people. The father wore an armband, a black armband, for years afterwards. Every time I'd run into him, he'd have a black armband on, the loss of his son. There was no hope of life beyond death. A life so short came to an end. And as I reflect on that, and I remember sitting there as a Christian in that service and watching a group of people without any hope, without any real purpose of eternity, I was reminded by God, I'd been a Christian for 3 years then, that I had to live my life on purpose and for purpose and with meaning. And the Bible reminds us that we have one life, we ought to live it with one passion, which is knowing, loving and serving Jesus. And friends, the people who planted this church 60 years ago, it was so they didn't have to walk to Beverly Hills, and that's a good motivation. But also because they're more than that, they wanted to think, we live in this community, let's impact this community with the gospel and let's make a difference. And the reality is, through this church, which we grew to be one of the largest churches in our denomination and continues to be at that state, in terms of the numbers of people who gather to worship, the amount of money that's given, the amount of money that's sent around the world to bless others, the workers that have been sent out, pastors that now have come from this church who are pastoring churches all over Sydney, New South Wales, Western Australia and other places of the world, even in church planting in Lebanon. That as we gather, you know, the Lebanese church gathers with Millard's group. And he did say to me, will you pray for me? They have an American team out with them in Lebanon who are going to sing at their services and go into the schools this week. He said, will you pray? And then they're going to do an outdoors carols by candlelight event in this next week. And so I let you know about what God is doing there in Beirut, Lebanon, and someone that we have sent out, that we have invested money and time and energy and prayerfulness and support. And God has been doing that for many years, for 60 years, and we're to be thankful to God for that. People have given their lives for the things that really matter. And friends, in my first point is that Jesus calls us to lose our lives for him. So we're thinking about the next decade or even the next week or the next month or the next year. What does Jesus want of us? What does Jesus want of me? Truth comes out in Mark chapter 8. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? And the point for Jesus is, I'm on a mission. My mission is costly. My mission will lead to my death. Will you join me in the mission to bring salvation to the world, to bring people into his kingdom and to see lives transformed? Will you be part of that mission? Will you surrender to Jesus in every aspect of your life? And sometimes when you do so, it is costly. Friends, it is costly to run a home Bible study group in your area, isn't it? You have to establish your home, you have to prepare well, and people have to come, you have to love them. It is costly to serve in children's ministry. It is costly to take a couple of hours off work on a Tuesday morning to teach scripture in a school, to take a pay cut to be able to do that. It's costly to take your family overseas. Ministry is costly. And Jesus said, well, hold on, I want you to be so committed to me and to my cause in the world that you may even die for that cause. Okay, and thankfully most of us in Australia are not going to die for the cause of Christ. But Jesus calls us to that type of passion, that type of commitment. Remember one young woman converted and was part of our church, and her parents were not supportive of her commitment, would encourage her not to come here. In fact, were so aggressive against her, she had to move out of home for a period of time because she loved and followed Jesus. And I did her wedding, not in the church because she wasn't allowed to have it here, but in a function centre, and then we had the reception afterwards. She now continues to love Jesus, is now married, has a child, continues to honour Christ, but it was costly for her in living for Christ. There's another Lebanese girl I baptised here midweek. She said, oh, I can't tell my family about this because they won't be happy with what I'm doing, but I want to put Jesus first and be obedient to his word. And she did so. In this Inspire magazine, and I'm urging you to pick that up, and thank Mike, Wood and Lisa for putting this together and all those who've written articles, it lists the type of things that are happening in our church where you can be a part of. And there's an article by myself on what's happened this year, but also at pushing the Resilient Life series that we'll kick off with in 2013. But there are articles there by what's happening in kids' ministry and what's happening in youth or young adults or playtime, pastoral care, how the Sue family are going to leave us, what happened with men's breakfast and the anniversary and the home groups and the Chinese ministry and the prime time and the Ladies Day Fellowship and the creative craft and the soul and the meals ministry and the food hampers and the First Place for Health group and the Operation Christmas Child, community visitor scheme that you're a part of, PICO scripture work, nursing home services that we are part of, the community radio station 90.1 NBC, family news in there and a Christmas brochure. But you see, people in our church normally only know about one section of the church, what you're involved in. What we're saying to you, you need to read this because you need to get a big picture of what God is doing through this church. It doesn't list our missionaries in this edition. The last edition had that. But we need to be a people who know what's happening, are praying for others who are involved in ministry and stepping up ourselves. We get asked the question, where will you serve? And C.T. Studd said this, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. So we need to be, and I love the fact there are a couple of people said, can we set up a store in Riverwood? And the church said, yes, go for it. But there were people with a passion to do that. And the question is, what has God put on your heart? What's your passion? It may be in existing ministries. It may be a new ministry. What will God do in the next decade? What new areas? Friends, if you look at the photograph 60 years ago, there weren't many Chinese believers in those pictures, right? If we took photographs of us up the front, there probably weren't any Greeks in there either. And there are no Colombians, right? And no Vietnamese in those pictures. And looking around, no English. Yes, a few English. But you see, it's very different. And God, this is a new day. It's a new community. And we just looked at the statistics for Ngawi, Beverly Hills, Ngawi, Riverwood area. Latest census indicated that 30% of the people have ancestry, which is Chinese. One in three in this stretch. Now, PICO is only 9%. So somewhere there must be a line somewhere, a crossover or something. But that's how it moves. First, we're right across this area. So we need to be thinking strategically about how to be better at reaching those from a Chinese background, whether it's Malaysia, Indonesia, mainland China. How do we better reach them? That's why we have a Chinese ministry that we try to reach and embrace people of all cultures. It's a modern church. C.T. Studd also said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus has come with me on my mission. Be involved in it. Secondly, from that Philippians passage, the Apostle Paul calls us to a Christ-centered obsession. Whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is my faith. He said, I used to do all these works and follow the Old Testament law thinking that that would bring me salvation. What I've discovered that was a loss to me, it wasn't a profit, it was a loss, it was a disadvantage to me, and I realized what I really want is a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, a righteousness through Christ. And so Paul measures up all his religious credentials and he says that's just like garbage. And in fact, he goes on to say later, he said, more than that, everything is to be considered as a loss. He said, all the things that we normally count valuable, career and honour and prestige and respect and wealth and relationships, he said, compared to Christ, they are garbage. And he uses, I mean, the terminology he uses refers to human waste products. They are human waste product compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. He says, when I weigh it all up, what really matters in life? Jesus is everything. I will elevate Jesus above my career. I'll elevate Jesus above the amount of money I earn. I will elevate Jesus above anything else. That's what I want. And he goes on then, let me say, before I go to his next comment, I like this comment by John White. He says, you must have one passion only when you're a follower of Jesus, one pearl of great price rather than half a dozen. And reality is, Christ has to be first, and these other things come under his lordship and under his leadership. And God uses your career, he uses your family, he uses all those things to bring glory to him, but he must be first. The problem is we bring Christ down on an equal level. My career, my family, Jesus, sport, recreation. And so Jesus is just one of many pearls. So no, pearl of great price is Jesus. He comes first. Everything else is subordinate to him. And I have to ask myself the question today as I even lead you as a pastor. I realize I've been part of this church for 25% of the life of the church now, 15 years, 60 years. And that's a great privilege to have been here. But have I brought Christ down just to one thing amongst many, or is Christ supreme? I must make him supreme. The Apostle Paul had been transformed by the grace of God from a persecutor of the church into the greatest first century evangelist. God brings transformation. He says, now I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Four things he says. Number one, I want to know Christ better and better. That's a good goal, isn't it? Into the next 10 years, I want to know Christ better and better. Secondly, I want to know the power of his resurrection. The power that raised Christ, I want that power to be involved in this church, in my life, in this church. Greater things God can do in this city, in this church, than what we've seen already. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul says, I'm willing to suffer for Christ if that's part of the deal of honouring him. And I want to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, ultimately realizing that even if I have to die as Christ died, I'm willing to go that far. And finally, he looks forward to the resurrection of the dead. He said, there is an eternity to come. My friend, whose funeral I went to at the age of 18, he died probably, I'm not God, and I don't know his heart, probably, as far as I could tell, unforgiven. Meets God unforgiven. Paul says, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead. Know Christ, give my life for him, share in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and he looks forward to the resurrection of the dead. It's a resurrection that keeps us going in ministry. Friends, I had another friend who died 10 years ago, developed cancer. After 18 months of treatment, he died. But he died ready, because as he was diagnosed with cancer, he came back to Christ. He lived for Christ, lived for the glory of Christ. And when my eulogy was read at his funeral in the Greek Orthodox Church, we were able to declare that he was at peace with Christ forever. But as God sort of puts these things together, I had another friend who also died at 39, a former colleague at Marrickville High School. She died suddenly and unexpectedly. In her 20s, she took some interest in Jesus and his message. But one day she said to me, don't talk to me about Jesus any longer. I put the Bible away. I don't want to know anymore. She got sick one winter, picked up some virus, attacked her heart, became unconscious, and 2 weeks later died. Suddenly, unexpectedly. One died ready, one probably, again, I'm not God, probably died unprepared. Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? One life, one passion. That's what God calls us to. Let me pray. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to live with one passion, loving, honoring, serving Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That all else would flow out from that, that we would make a profound difference in this community. For your glory, we pray. Amen.